The next case then for the court to hear is Corporation of the Presiding Bishop of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Petitioner versus Real Party in Interest, Jason King in his capacity as Nevada State Engineer et al. Case number 65424. Morning, Mr. Hamanoski.
Morning, Your Honor.
Are you ready to proceed?
I am.
Okay.
May it please the court, I'm Paul Hamanoski. I represent the petitioner. With the court's indulgence, I'd like to reserve half my time for rebuttal.
Okay.
We present a narrow issue, retroactive application of NRS 533.3705. This case stands on that statute, which is a fundamental underpinning of the state engineer's ruling. What makes this case interesting and unique in some respects is we've already visited this issue. This is Great Basin 2 all over again. You'll remember that these are applications filed in 1989, which came before the court in Great Basin 1, where the court concluded that the state engineer had erred in not bringing these things on for hearing within the ensuing 14 years. But that raised an issue for the applicant that was very important to them, which was trying to preserve the priority of their applications. So they came back on rehearing, which led to Great Basin 2, which had the effect of preserving the priority of those 1989 applications. But now, in this proceeding, that emphasis on 1989 has been replaced by now trying to say, well, wait a moment, these are recent hearings and the old law doesn't apply, we should look at the new law, we should apply it retroactively.
But wasn't that determination made in 2012?
Yes.
Yes.
After the statute was passed.
To appropriate the maximum of 61,127 acre feet, and in accordance with the statute, he determined that the state engineer determined that he would proceed with incremental development and continuous monitoring.
No.
Okay.
What the state engineer said, and here you have to look beyond semantics at the actual functionality of what the state engineer said. In his ruling, he said, the applicant gets 38,000 acre feet. And then, 8 years later, if I like the evidence, then I will determine, his words, then I will determine whether to allow another 12,000.
But isn't that really incremental development? Doesn't that cost, isn't that the effect?
No, sir. That is incremental approval. And that's where we part company with my colleagues on the other side. The statute says when the matter has been approved, you may have incremental or staged development. But here, the only thing that's been approved was 38,000 acre feet. And that's very clear. I mean, take a look at the next two increments, the 12,000 and the third increment. There's nothing there that they can bank on. There's nothing there they can borrow on. There's nothing there they can count on because the engineer has not made the determination that those subsequent increments are approved. So what's happened is the statute, which was geared towards incremental development, has been twisted to incremental approval. And when we talk about the incremental development, let's remember this. The circumstance for our case has changed. Water law in Nevada is under different pressures. The statutes used to require very strict timeline for approval of an application, 1 year, now it's 2. It required a very specific time by which construction had to begin and by which construction had to end. But then along came this massive project, which does not fit in those timelines. This enormous project, which may cost as much as $15 billion, wouldn't fit. The legislature came up with a new statute, this incremental development, which accommodates that kind of long-term project. Not only this one, there may be others. But that's what this statute accomplished. Now, on this issue of retroactivity.
Mr. Chemnitsky, before you proceed to retroactivity, you have parsed out, I think, if I understood your last argument correctly, the difference between development and approval. And I'm not sure you want us to ignore or to sanction, if you will, the approval that was essentially held in abeyance here. And I'm having a hard time finding out how that isn't development. I mean, don't we need to wait to see what is happening in order for there to be incremental development?
The only thing the ruling says with respect to that is that 38,000 acre feet are approved.
Right.
You can build a system to accommodate 38,000 acre feet, or you can build a system to accommodate much more than that. That's within the purview of the ruling. What the ruling does not allow for is you to withdraw more than 38,000 acre feet because that's not approved. And that element of approval is what they are saying the engineer it can step around by relying on this statute. Without this statute, how do you get to the idea that the engineer has approved anything other than 38,000? He hasn't, clearly. He says, I will not make that determination. He's explicit in that. And bear in mind,
and the evidence doesn't support it.
Pardon?
I mean, his position is the evidence doesn't support it at this juncture.
Absolutely. He was very clear on that. He said, we do not have sufficient information to evaluate conflicts of interest at this point.
Yeah.
And that's his function. Now, I want to raise the one point. There's been a supplement filed by my colleagues on the other side. I did not respond to the supplement. I was out of the country on Friday when it was filed. So I have just 3 points to make about it. One, it's erroneous. You can't file a supplement to present additional evidence at the appellate court level. And this is legislative history. It's evidence. Normally comes into court under exceptions to the hearsay rule. It is not an authority like a newly discovered case or anything else. It is, in fact, eight-year-old legislative history which should have been introduced below. Secondly, legislative history is of no import. It's a legislative history that relates to a failed statute that never got out of the assembly. And there's adequate case law that tells you there's no legislative history can be gleaned from a statute that didn't pass. And secondly, you can't, and the Ninth Circuit has made this a couple of times, you cannot transfer legislative history from one statute to another. You have to.
Why is the statute ambiguous?
I beg your pardon?
Is there a reason to believe the statute is ambiguous in order to look at the legislative history?
I think there's a reason to believe practically any statute's ambiguous when two people come up with different conclusions about it. The question is whether or not it's reasonable to say it's ambiguous. Even if it is, my point is the supplement is inappropriate because it addresses a different Senate bill, not this bill. And certainly the musings of a single legislator about what that other bill meant don't have much relevance here. What you really need to see, the legislature, a clear intent. If you had a committee report that says this is supposed to be retroactive and the legislature votes on it, fine. Then you've got some evidence. If you have a provision in the statute that says it's retroactive, that's clear. You don't have a problem. But here we don't have anything that approaches the clarity the court requires to show that there was an intent for retroactive application. Here they didn't consider it one way or another. But for us, it's very important for the reasons we've stated in the briefs. I've eaten up more of the time than I said I was going to eat up, so I'm going to sit down.
Well, I've got a question for you, too, before you sit down, if you don't mind. You indicated that there was no appropriation for the maximum of 61,127 acre feet. but on page 9 of the engineer of the state engineer's decision, it specifically addresses the Spring Valley appropriations in an award of $61,127 acre feet and indicating it violates the state engineer's rules. But I'm just confused as to what the appropriation actually was by the state engineer. You're telling me it was 38. My impression was 61.
It's a legitimate point of contention as the engineer wrote his ruling. And that's why I say we have to look beyond the semantics to see what he really did. He says, for example, in the ruling, which is on page 216 of his ruling, he says, applications, are hereby granted in the following amounts subject to the following conditions. Sounds like approval of all 61,000 acres, doesn't it? I agree. But then he goes on to clarify that after 8 years of pumping and the submission of all this study, then he says, the state engineer will then make a determination as to whether the applicant can proceed to stage two. And he says the same thing with respect to stage three. So I say to you that regardless of how he phrased it, applications are granted, the substance of what he said was you get 38,000 and we'll see about the rest.
In terms of development, that's what it says. And I follow you. I'm reading right along with you in the ruling. It seems to me like he said 61,000 and a little bit extra. And then he lays it out. He calls it development.
He does, but when he says, then I will make a determination whether you can proceed to pump stage two, he's told them that you do not have the right. You do not have the right to the next increment. You do not have the right to the rest of the water. We'll see about that. And that means that he hasn't approved the application for that water. It certainly implicates development as well, Justice. But the fact is the approval has not been granted. When he says, we'll see, we'll make a determination, that's not a bankable, that's not a financeable right. It's not a vested right. It's only a promise that if he likes or the successor likes the evidence 8 years from now, maybe then he'll grant stage two, and maybe not. And as long as it's a maybe not, this is not a grant. This is not an approval.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Budeski. Ms. Fairbank?
Good morning. My name is Micheline Fairbank, and I represent the State of Nevada Division of Water Resources and the State Engineer, Jason King, who is present here today, along with some of his staff. Mr. Polsenberg, on behalf of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, and I have agreed to share our time equally. In my esteemed colleague's argument, a significant issue came up. Is this statute subject to differing interpretations? It is not. The statute is not unambiguous on its face. NRS 533-3705, subsection 1, unambiguously states that upon approval of an application, the state engineer may subject that project to stage development. The ambiguity, if there is any, which we contend there is not, is within the substance of the state engineer's determination, which is not before the court here today. The question today is the interpretation and application of the statute, not the meat and potatoes of the state engineer's determination. That record is not before the court. So the statute is not subject to differing interpretations. The state engineer's ruling approved at the appropriation of 61,127 acre feet annually. However, within the statutory authority of the state engineer to assure the balancing of his duties and responsibilities to assure that unavailable, unappropriated water can be applied for and put to a beneficial use while protecting existing interests. The state engineer has the authority to balance those interests by implementing stage development within that application. This application approved 61,127 acre feet annually.
And the first stage would be approximately 38,000 acre feet.
The first stage of that, as to Southern Nevada Water Authority's ability to get to 61,127 acre feet, is to go through these incremental stages.
If you buy the fact that he can, in fact, approve incremental development.
Correct, but the statute provides that. Not only does the statute provide that authority, but that has been an existing practice, an existing authority and ability of the state engineer preceding the statute. The statute merely codified the state engineer's authority to balance these interests.
Would it be your position in the retroactive argument is just kind of a red herring, a coloring?
I'm sorry, what was
that? Is your position that the retroactive argument is just kind of a red herring, so to speak, that he, in fact, the state engineer, had this authority before that change?
Yes. I would say that the state engineer has had this authority preceding 2007. 2007, the Nevada legislature codified that existing authority, and it made it subject to these particular applications, not only because these applications were pending at the time, but the state engineer followed this court's ruling in Great Basin 2. In Great Basin 2, the court said that the 2003 statute couldn't apply because the applications were not pending. So this court made the determination and directed that in order to protect those interests of the protestants, that those applications had to be republished. On January 26, 2011, the state engineer republished those applications. They were revived. And at that point, when they were republished, they were revived, they were subject to each and every statutory provision then in existence, regardless of whether or not the state engineer previously had that authority.
And because it was all codified in 2007 and doesn't go back to 1989, there's no retroactive effect.
That is absolutely the state engineer's position.
There was a reference in opening as to preserving a priority. Is that something we should be concerned with?
I think that's an equity argument that was addressed by the court with respect to Great Basin 2. That's an equity argument with regards to Southern Nevada Water Authority. And
we even get into that argument today.
I don't think we should, because that's a substantive argument with respect to the underlying merits of the state engineer's decision, which has been remanded back by the district court, which that also segues to a little bit of the issue with respect to, is this particular petition appropriate for review right now? Our position is that no, the district court remanded the state engineer's ruling on four separate points, and that at that point in time, the presiding bishops and all the other protestants have an adequate state law remedy following those remand proceedings. And so it's premature to be addressing this particular issue, but we're here. And so our position, the state engineer's position, is that the statute is unambiguous. It was not applied retroactively. And that on a moving forward basis, the state engineer not only previously had that existing inherent authority, but then it was codified into statute.
Could I just test that point you made a moment ago about writ review? My understanding of the scope of the remand is not to ask the state engineer to reassess or redetermine the quantity of the approval, but rather to examine the terms and conditions under which the subsequent development, testing, and mitigation measures are being explored. If that's true, then it would seem appropriate at this time to determine whether this statute applies to this circumstance, wouldn't it?
I believe that the district court's decision with respect to this particular application in the statute was found that there was no retroactive application and that the remand, as you say, as you characterize, was with respect to the 3M plan, the monitoring, management, mitigation.
There wasn't a request on the remand by the district court to re-examine the quantity of approval of 61,000 and some change, was it?
It was, part of the remand proceeding was recalculation of the amount of water available for appropriation in Spring Valley. So there is some consideration as to the quantity, and that's part of what's going back down for determination.
And whether the evidence is sufficient to support that 61,000 or the 38?
Correct, because, but again, that goes into the merits and the substance of the state engineer's ruling. It doesn't really go into the statutory interpretation and application.
Well, if he came back and said instead of 61, it's 78, or instead of 61, it's 42, the application of the statute would still be implicated as long as he's going to stage the development.
The state engineer has the discretion to implement stage development. So the state engineer may or may not.
But he still needs evidence to support the stage development.
He needs evidence to support the appropriation of the total amount of water available.
And just so I know, and this is just out of curiosity, there was he actually appropriated an amount far less than what was being sought.
And I'll answer your question with my limited time. Yes, there was a substantial more amount of water sought. The state engineer appropriated amount less, as well as leaving water available in the basin.
Okay, thank you. Any additional questions for Ms. Fairbank? All right, thank you.
Good morning, Chief Justice Hardesty. May it please the court, Dan Poulsenberg for the Southern Nevada Water Authority. Substantially less. We asked for 91,000. We got 61,000. Petitioner's argument, I would say, would have to be somewhat of a red herring. The petition itself, I learned one thing in this case. Call your petition for limited writ review of only one legal issue. And the legal issue that the petition says it's going to ask this court to review is the application of 3705 to SNWA's 1985 applications. And yet the oral argument today was about two different issues. It was about whether there's staged authority versus staged development. And their brief goes into that. Their brief goes into a whole parade of different issues beyond the writ relief that they're requesting. But let's just look at the one that they brought up today.
Before you get into that point,
Mr. Yes, sir.
Olsenberg, do you share your colleague's view that the scope of the remand would permit the state engineer to determine anew not only the quantity but maybe even the staging of the quantity or the development of the quantity?
And not entirely, and I also disagree on whether the court should hear the petition. I think the court should hear this petition because it is it's easy sitting at the respondent's table to say don't hear somebody's writ petition. But I'm already on record that this court should have heard all the writ petitions raising all of these issues. This one seems to be, ironically, the smallest and the easiest issue, at least according to its title. And it would be nice to have a resolution of these issues and then move on. If we're worried about mom-and-pop personal injury cases, I mean, this is the standard that I use for whether to hear writ petition is whether it's big and whether it's important, and this is certainly a big case. And the court's resolution of this issue could save us years down the line by establishing the cause.
I assume that was directed towards me.
But the question is this issue really important? I think it's only important if we consider this together with, and I don't want to sound like I'm arguing Mount Hope, the Eureka County case, but what is the basis of the state engineer's authority for stage development and for a 3M plan? On page 28 of their petition, in their eighth block quote, where they set out things that the state engineer talked about, the state engineer does a masterful job of explaining how staged development and the 3M plan work together.
And let me ask you this, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but doesn't that essentially inure to the petitioner's benefit by doing a staged incremental plan and a monitoring plan?
But this case is completely upside down. I should be the petitioner in this case. I'm the applicant. I should be the one who's challenging whether there can be restrictions on the approval of my application. And I maintain that this has been a complete approval of the application, and the state engineer said as much. And even if we only look at the statute, these are protections here for the holders of the existing rights. So this statute and the pre-existing authority the state engineer had was to limit my, give me approval, and it's only available, the first two words of the statute, upon approval, is to give me approval, but limit the implementation to safeguard the factors, to make sure that there's no impact, no conflict on existing rights, to make sure that it doesn't threaten or threaten a detriment to the public interest. The state engineer said this, that this is part 3M plan, and stage development are the tools that he uses to have the flexibility and the creativity to do the balancing that we charge him with. Now, I come in support of his position in this case because this is a reasonable approach. They come in and argue, no, it's stage development. It's holding water hostage because the state engineer makes a determination between stages one and two. Well, the third sentence of this statute actually says, in making that determination, the state engineer may establish a period during which additional studies may be conducted or additional evidence provided to support the application. Everything the state engineer did in this staged development, not staged approval, is exactly what the statute sets out to do. They say he's going to call for additional information. The second sentence says the first sentence says he approves the total amount. And then he says, okay, you can only develop it less than the total amount. The second sentence says the use of any additional amount may be authorized by the state engineer at a later date if additional evidence determines to the satisfaction of the state engineer that the additional amount of water is available. And that's exactly what the state engineer did. This is supposed to be an oral argument about whether the statute applies to my applications, and it's turned into an oral argument saying that the state engineer did something different from the statute when he did exactly what the statute says. I think these tools are important for the state engineer to ensure that applications are handled correctly. I think that a 3M plan is as well. And if you look at one of the statutes about the 3M plan, which is 533.353, it starts out a different way if we're looking at retroactive application. It says for each new application to appropriate water for a beneficial use filed on or after January 1, 2012, then it goes on to say that the county needs to be involved. If the legislature wanted this not to apply to pending applications, it could have worded this statute the way it worded the 3M statute. And I think if you look at the legislative history of that statute and this statute, it's clear that the legislature meant these statutes to codify existing authority that the state engineer has. Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Paulsenberg? All right, thank you.
Chief Justice, to answer the question that you posed along the way, the decision of the district court in item number 2 in its conclusion said as follows for the remand. A recalculation of water available for appropriation from Spring Valley, assuring that the basin will reach equilibrium between discharge and recharge in a reasonable period of time. Yes, the question of the amount is part of the remand to the state engineer per the district court. With respect to
the case, if that's the case, should we entertain this writ? The remand might result in an entirely new amount of approval. It might even change the implementation, or they might not even be an implementation.
Absolutely, that would be correct. But the policy issue that we're facing here on the application of the statute doesn't just apply to my case. It applies to every application. What's happened to the timelines set out in the statutes? Statute currently says 2 years to rule on an application, so many years to commence construction, so many years to put it into beneficial use. All of those applications are pending. Could be subject to 3705 if it has retroactive application or not. I mean, there's more here than just our case at issue. This is a public policy question that has application to other applicants as well.
Well, I have to agree with Mr. Poulsenberg on one point. I thought the argument here was whether this statute applied to these applications.
Yes, sir.
But we kind of got sidetracked during your argument about how and if it was applied. And so it sounds like the focus of your petition is on the application of this statute to these applications, not how it was applied, if it should be.
Yeah, I'm trying to parse the question, but to be clear, our position is that this statute may not be utilized by the state engineer on these applications to do what he did.
Okay, and that's the question that your petition posits.
Yes, Your Honor. Precisely
that. And you believe that's sufficiently right, notwithstanding the remand for this court to address in an extraordinary writ?
Yes, and here, however dangerous it is, I agree with Mr. Poulsenberg, because the application of the statute is going to come up again below, mm-hmm. and it may very much influence how the engineer views the further proceedings. And if we can short-circuit a decision on this point, we will probably, as he said, save some years of grief otherwise.
This court has to worry when Hemanowski and Poulsenberg agree.
Not nearly as much as I worry.
Well, it marks an historical moment. We've got a jurisprudence. Is there anything further, Mr. Hemanowski?
Unless there are further questions I can answer, no.
All right. Well, we thank you very much for your arguments, Mr. Hemanowski, Ms. Fairbank, and Mr. Poulsenberg. Excellent briefs, and the matter will stand submitted.